If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. As we approach the Easter season, kind of want to work my way through the Gospels and work our way a little bit through the life of Jesus Christ. And over in Luke chapter number 3, we see John the Baptist come onto the scene, and we talked about him in Sunday school, but hopefully this won't be a repetition for you. If it is, I'll have to come up with a different plan. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, and you're all right, you're in Luke. That's where you're supposed to be. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let's look at verse number 1. Of chapter number 3. "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" That's the question we want to ask today. What shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And last, verse 19, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Let's pray. Amen. So John the Baptist comes on the scene. The Bible has been silent for 400 years. You read the book of Malachi and it ends, and for 400 years there was silence. They hadn't heard a word from God. It was all a memory. They look back and they remember the prophet Isaiah. They remember the prophet Elijah. They remember Ezekiel. They have their words to read, but there was no new prophets. There was no new word from God, and time moved on. And Jerusalem is part of Rome now. They're underneath Rome, and they've got Herod over them, and all the politics have changed. And the time comes, and God's ready to bring forth his son. He said, when the fullness of time would come, God brought forth his son. So before his son comes on the scene, God has prophesied that one would come before him, and that man was John. John had a part to play in God's eternal plan of salvation. John had a specific purpose while he was here on this earth. And John received praise from Jesus Christ for doing his part, for playing his part. If we look at this today, you know, we may not have the ministry of John. We may not have laid before us to plow the ground before the coming of the Messiah. But in each of our lives, God, who is omnipotent, God who knows your heart, God who knows what you can and can't do, and may I tell you that sometimes what you think you can't do, God knows you can. There's a little bit of stress there. I can tell you in taking a church. Well, should I tell you? I'm going to anyway. There's been a lot of times, and I know y'all. Some of y'all might agree with me. Lord, I don't know. I'm not able to lead this church. They're too mean. I don't say that to the Lord. I just wanted to make y'all laugh. But I mean, you look at the task that's set before you. It's like, man, how can I be there? How can I be the one that speaks from the Word of God to people? And the only way to do that is to be tied into the source. If you're not tied into the source, you're not going to be able to do what God wants you to do. We know John the Baptist was tied into the source. The Bible tells us that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from the time of his birth, from the time that he was in the womb. When Mary walked up to her cousin, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and she gets near, and John, the baby, leaped in her womb, the Bible tells us. He was excited to be near Jesus, even before he was born. And then Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to prophesy. And here the man, John, a simple man, living a simple life. His meat was locusts and honey. We talked about that in Sunday school. Not appetizing for us, but not uncommon over there in the Middle East at that time. A poor man's meal. And he wore a garment of camel's hair. And it's not the kind of camel's hair you go to Men's Warehouse to get. I promise you. I read about this, the kind of camel's hair that they'd make coat out. It was rough. It was taken off of the top of the camel, not the soft part of the camel. It was shaved off that hump, and it made it bristly, and it made it uncomfortable. But he didn't care. He wasn't there for that. He wasn't there to look good. He wasn't there to please people. He was there to plow the ground like we talked about. He was there to give God's word. He was there to lead the Jews to repentance and prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. Over in Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. All that time that they spent in captivity, all that time that they spent under Babylon, under Persian, they had received the payment for their, they had paid for their time worshiping other gods. They had paid for the sins of Israel. I don't want y'all to get me confused on that. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about God's favor. We're talking about God letting the land rest. I'm not going to go too far down that road. Verse number 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, talking about John, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now here's John's calling. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So not only was John's ministry prophesied, but John's ministry had a specific purpose. His purpose was to point the Jews toward repentance. You can imagine all of those years away from God, all of those years following their own rules. They had their traditions and rules, and they had developed their own way of doing things. They had gotten away from God's words. They didn't have prophets telling them and pulling them back. All they had were the prophets in the Old Testament that were there. They could read them. Jesus said, "You have Moses and the prophets," you know. Even though one come back from the dead. You remember over in Luke 16, I think it was, when the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man's in hell, and he said, if I could just come back from the dead and warn my brethren, then they would not suffer the same fate that I am. I don't even care about myself. I get it. I'm here. I deserved it. But to my brothers, if I could just warn them. And he said, no, even though one come back from the dead. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Oh, what a word. We have God's word in our hand. Can you imagine how handy God's word is compared to what it used to be? We can go down to the store and we can get a nice one. Oh, it's calfskin. It's got a nice fold to it. Got gilded edges. It doesn't make me smarter. It's very nice. We can go down to the dollar store and we can get a small one. And over in China, they're printing them by the thousands, but they don't know what's in it. To have God's word right in front of them, but not have the salvation, not have the freedom that comes with it. You can get a little bitty one that's got it all in there. You can get it online. There's thousands of apps now. Everybody, because it's free, they'll make an app for it. I mean, you can get God's word anywhere. Can you imagine what a testimony that is to someone that gets to the judgment seat, the white, great white throne judgment? Well, nobody told me. Really. You never had the opportunity. Well, what about the man? What about you? What about the man way over here that said, what about you? You're standing here in front of me now. What did you do with my word? And that's what we look at today. John had a purpose. And when he tells them to repent, he tells them to prepare. He says, verse number four, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make its path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, he's telling them, come and repent. The Pharisees had sent an envoy, if you so to speak. They had looked at their scrolls. They had looked at their traditions, and they said, "There's this man John out there preaching in the wilderness." And by the way, he didn't send out a flyer. He didn't have commercials. He didn't spend $600 million on commercials so that you saw it every time you turned the channel. But word of mouth got out about John, and everybody came to see him out in the desert. If you'd have set it up today, you would have set it up inside the city, right? Rome would have been a good place. Start preaching there. But John's out there in the desert, and people would go out there to hear him preach. He says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. He's looking straight at them. He's plowing the ground like we talked about. He says, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Those Pharisees that were there, that envoy, would say, well, there's nothing to repent of. I follow the traditions. I keep the law to the utmost. I clean the outside of my cup. You notice my voice changed? I keep the outside of the cup clean. I dress nice. I talk right. I'm very educated. And I have all this knowledge of the Old Testament. I can tell you where Moses was on what date, and I can tell you where they were in the wilderness and all of those things. And John says, oh, well, I guess you got it all figured out then. And John says, you vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent. He had the same message for them as he had for the publican, as he had for the soldier. He had the same message for all of them. And verse number 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? So John rebuked them, Matthew 3:7, when he's talking to the Pharisees. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up Abraham. And verse number 11 of Matthew chapter 3, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. One thing, his ministry was not to overshadow Christ, but to present it. Anytime we do something for God, you know, if we've done what you said, Lord, what do you have us do next? It doesn't exalt us. You know, it's a funny thing about getting told on about being under the sink. Nobody would ever know, you know, about rolling around in the slop and the slime. Well, I didn't do that much, but it stunk. We had a garbage disposal that seized up, and we had to do something about it because people see a garbage disposal, they won't put food in it. And if it ain't working, it ain't pleasant. So you get under there, you lay it down, and it's not hard work. It's nothing big. But when we do things for the Lord, it ought to be, well, we did what we were told, and then we move on. Even as a preacher, you know, it's just, it's putting ourselves, putting others above ourselves, putting Christ above all things. And that's what John did. So they tried to interpret him. In John 1:19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Notice that these Pharisees, they wanted an answer so that they could take back. They had no interest in what John was preaching. They had no desire to really understand what he was preaching. They simply wanted to see his place in history. They wanted to go back to their books and say, huh? Is this him? Is this the prophet? And if it is, then this falls in, this falls in, this falls in. Do y'all see where I'm going here? We can look at God's word and we can say, all right, this took place and this took place. And it's good to study God's word, but it's even better to let God's word study you. You know, in our bulletin today, and I just thought of it, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we let God's word work on us, we're in God's will. We may not be walking right. We may not have everything right. We may get up there and preach wrong or teach wrong a little bit, just out of ignorance, and y'all can blame me for being ignorant, but when your heart is right with God, when you're letting God's word work on you, God can use you. These men God couldn't use. And he said, I am the one. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I know you heard this. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? You know, they could read in their prophecy. They could read the prophet Isaiah. They knew him, written him hundreds of times, probably quoted him. But they couldn't see that he came before the Messiah. That he was making the path straight. That he was telling. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So many of people approach what God's word says with the attitude of the Pharisees. They look for the science of what's being said rather than the substance. They like to check the boxes off. You know, in looking for Bible study software and stuff like that, I even... took one of those video courses. You know, I'm trying to improve. I really am, you guys. Y'all may not see it, but I'm trying to learn wherever I can. But I watched one of these videos, and I watched him up there teaching, and it amazes me. And I'm sorry, I'm just not that smart or something, but it amazes me how someone can say so much about the Bible but not be talking about the Bible. Y'all think about that. I'll just let y'all figure it out for yourself one day. Somebody can sit there and make a career out of talking about the Bible, but somehow it seems like the Bible's missing them. I watched one instructor, and he was talking about the book of Acts, and he was talking about the spread of the gospel, and he was saying, well, the Romans had roads that were going in those days, and man, they were able to travel from here to here and here to here, and the word of God was able to spread. And then there's the other school of thought, and Morgan would vouch for me on this because I backed it up and I showed her. And then, well, there's the other school of thought that the Holy Ghost was the one that spread the word from people. It's like, really? I mean, he was excited talking about the Roman roads and talking about the structure and everything that was going on. And when it came to God using the Holy Spirit to spread his word among the people, he was going, well, and then there's that. And, you know, you may see it and not see that. I don't know. But when I read the Bible, Lord, show me. Where do I fall short? So you had the Pharisees that could talk about the Bible, but they were missing what was going on right in front of them. They were missing the whole purpose of John being there. So John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who is coming after me, who is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And then we have the people. Look in verse number 10. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? The others were gathering information. The people are saying, whoa, you're saying the Messiah is coming. What do we do? What do we need to do? He's talking to the Jews here. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Verse number 11, he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You know, when you read in the Gospels, one thing that you see, and then you see in the heart of the Jews, they had received many physical blessings. And when they served God, God made promises, like over in Deuteronomy 28, that if you stay in my will, if you maintain the sacrifices, if you maintain fellowship with me, then you'll have earthly physical blessings. He promised those down through Abraham. And they were so material-minded that within their hearts, they violated God's intention. I'm trying to think of how to expound this further. It was all on the outside. And I've talked about this several times, but you remember when Jesus said, you make the outside of the cup clean, but the inside is dirty. You have the whitest sepulchers, but inside are dead men's bones. Everything was for the outside, for the visual. That's good. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and saith, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. The intention, internalizing. All through the Gospels, you see the law being internalized. You see them having Jesus telling them to love one another as I have loved you. Abide in me as I abide in God. You know, as I abide in God. I am the vine. He's telling them it's a matter of love. It's a matter of the heart. And when you get saved, it's not the matter of what you say. It's not the prayer that you say. It's not the rosary that you repeat. It's not any of those things. It's a matter of the heart, believing in the heart. And when you have trouble believing, you ask God to help your unbelief. The publicans came up to him in verse number 12. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Now here was a position. You might have had the central IRS, but you had all these little IRS people. And they were autonomous. And when they took the taxes, they could be a little for me and a little for there. Oh, their taxes come out 12%. You need 20%. Because mama's got to have a little something, something. You know? They were unloved. They were unlikable. They were corrupt in the heart. But here they are. They're standing before John the Baptist. He says, repent. And they say, God shows them. You know, I did rip off some people. You know, working on the car lot, boy, you'd see somebody's heart. You'd see the heart of that manager. Cold. And you'd see the heart of the customers, too. Cold. You know, it was all about the money. It was all about this or that. And one was trying to get over on the other. I was a salesman, but I wasn't a sell. I was just in between. And you say, well, that doesn't let you off. No, it doesn't. I imagine God's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. You know that time you spent selling the cars for a little while? That wasn't too good, was it, Brother Keith? No? No, sir. That wasn't. And I regretted it. Hearts. Publican. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Just be honest about what you do. The Bible still tells us that. Whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord, knowing it of the Lord, you shall receive your reward. The soldiers came up to him, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You imagine the power of a soldier, the power to arrest somebody, the power to extort somebody, the power to exercise your will over someone, the desire to fight other people, the desire to get things over. And he says, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. And then in verse number 19, we have another reaction. John didn't pull any punches. John wasn't a preacher that said, well, we want to welcome you today, and I'm glad that you came out here to the desert to see me, and I have a good presentation for you today. John was out there, and he was yelling, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know it's dirty. But John was getting the message across. And he didn't pull any punches. And Herod the Tetrarch, he had married his brother's wife. As far as the details, it doesn't matter, but he wasn't doing right. And John wasn't afraid to tell him he wasn't doing right. And John ended up getting put in prison over it. Look at verse number 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And then those who would be disciples followed him. But because John was faithful in what had been given to him, and I don't think it was a struggle. It might have been. There might be struggles we don't know about. The Bible tells about all the warts and all. You remember when John was in prison and all that was going on, and he's there in prison and he's beginning to doubt, and he sends men over to Jesus. Are you the Messiah, or should I wait for another? He said, tell John there's being miracles performed. Put his mind at ease. And Jesus didn't let anybody think bad about him. He said, among men born of women, there is none greater than John. Just in case anybody was looking down on him for doubting. Because we all go through those struggles. The Bible shows us warts and all. But John was faithful in what he was given. In that ministry that he had, he was faithful. And that began to take him past what he thought it would go. And he got to baptize Messiah. Jesus came up to him and he said, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. He said, suffer it to be so, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Over in John chapter 1, verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then over in verse 29 of John chapter 1, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with the water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So his ministry took him past what he thought it would. He was just there to preach repentance for his Lord and Savior. But God showed him who Jesus was. God allowed him to baptize Jesus. Not only that, he was praised by Jesus. Over in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, if you want to look there with me, and then we'll be finishing up. Over in Matthew chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to praise in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out to see in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So God, through the Holy Spirit, works through his prophets, put every word in that Bible, and all the way down to the genealogies, the numbers, the laws, the ordinances, successes, and the failures. All those were put there for a purpose. All of those were to educate us. All of those were to draw us closer to God. It's not a matter of how you interpret it. It's a matter of what you will do with what God shows you. How will you react? Will you ask the question, what shall we do? What will you do?